Again, welcome you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. And those who are visitors this morning, we give you a special welcome, and we trust that the Lord will bless you in your hearts, and together we will know the presence of our God as we come now to meditate upon God's Word. Just reminding you that this afternoon, after the lunch, we have a Bible study. We continue to look at the Lord's Supper as we go through our confession of faith. And so, if you can stay, please do for that very important study regarding the Lord's Supper, meeting around the Lord's table. Now, we're going to turn to God's Word. But before we do, let's bow in another moment of prayer. Our Father, we bow to thank you for what we have been singing together. We bow to thank you for the Word of God that we have read together. We bow to thank you, Lord, that this is the infallible, inerrant, eternal Word of the living God. And as we read it, we come to the conclusion that we need no other argument. We need no other plea. It's enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. How we thank you for your Word. We ask, Father, that you will help us now as we take these few minutes together around your Word. Speak through your Word. May your Word live to us this morning, and may we go away knowing that God the Lord has ministered to our souls through his Word. And again we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles if you can. Joe's just reminding me I should switch this thing on. That's the problem with getting older. You get absent-minded. But I know you young people do the same. Okay, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. Now, we have been in this opening chapter for quite a little while now. And what I want to do, because we're coming to a new section in chapter 1, if you will notice in your Bibles, that chapter 1 is divided into three sections. We have the greetings, then we have the blessing in Christ, and then in verse 15 we come to thanksgiving and prayer. And that's where we will come this morning. But I want to just go through these verses. That's why it's so important, folk, that you have your Bibles, because it is the entrance of God's Word that brings light and life to people. So please follow as we go through it. I will just comment on the verses as we go through just now. Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 1 and verse 2, we have the greetings that the apostle brings in this way. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and that's who he is, to the saints at Ephesus, who are in Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, that's who he is writing to. He's writing to the saints. He's writing to the believers. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beautiful greeting. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you will notice in verse 3 that he speaks of the spiritual blessings that come in Christ and belong to the children of God. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And you can see in that third verse that he's praising God for the blessings that God has given through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed his people, that's the saints he speaks about, with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to highlight some of these amazing blessings that belong to the children of God. And in verse 4, he speaks of the fact that the saints, the children of God, are chosen to be holy and blameless in Christ. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He has chosen us. He has chosen us to be holy and blameless in love. Who has he chosen? He has chosen those who are now saints and those who will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and will say, I need no other argument. It's enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Then in verse 5, as he builds upon the fact that he's speaking of the spiritual gifts that are given to God's people, they have been blessed with spiritual blessings. They have been chosen. Then verse 5 says, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And we can see he has chosen them. And here we see in verse 5, he has adopted them. He has adopted them as sons through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, he says this is all of grace, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. He has done this for the praise of his glorious grace. Then again, he goes on to speak of these great blessings as he speaks of redemption. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. There he speaks of the fact that those who are the children of God are those who have been redeemed or bought out of the slave market of sin through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Then in verse 9, he goes on to speak about their enlightenment. So he says in verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, in heaven and on earth. And so he praises God for the fact that the Lord has revealed the mystery of his will through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 11 and 12, he speaks about the inheritance. Can you see all these spiritual blessings? Verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We have obtained an inheritance We have been predestined to that inheritance according to the purpose of him who works all things for the counsel of his will. Then as we come to verse 13, he goes on to speak of the fact that the saints have been sealed in Christ. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And as we look at those verses, folk, what do we see? We see the great love and mercy and grace of God upon a people who were sinners by nature, sinners by practice, and deserved to be separated from God for all eternity. But he came in his great mercy, and he has brought to these people called saints these amazing spiritual blessings which are theirs for both time and for eternity. Now, having unfolded the nature of these blessings of which the saints have become partakers, Paul goes on to give thanks for the saints at Ephesus. But not just the saints at Ephesus, but to all the saints in all the history of the world. He gives thanks to God for the saints. In doing so, he highlights here in these couple of verses that we will read in a moment, he highlights the two leading graces of the Christian character. The two leading graces of the Christian character, and they will, as you see, faith and love. Now, the fact that he gives thanks to God for these two graces indicates to us that they are from God. He's thanking God in the opening verses for the spiritual blessings that have been bestowed upon the saints. But now he comes to give thanks to God for the saints themselves. Look at what he says in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer. For this reason, the reason of that he has just spoken of, because I have heard of your faith. Now remember, Paul was the one who founded the church in Ephesus. He was there for a period of 3 years. So many people in Ephesus come to faith in Christ. But now he is hearing, as time has gone on, about how they've continued to grow and how they've continued to mature in their Christian faith. And he says, since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and I've heard of your love towards the saints, I do not cease In other words, I continue to pray. I continue to praise God. I continue to thank God for you, remembering you in my prayers. So there is no doubt in her mind whatsoever that salvation is a work of grace. Salvation is a work of God. And these saints are what they are by the amazing grace of God. Paul makes it clear in his letter that faith and love are the hallmarks of the true born-again Christian. You see what he's saying? I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. As we say, this is a hallmark of somebody who is truly and genuinely born again of God, who is truly a child of God. It's interesting how the Apostle Paul repeats this again and again. We haven't a lot of time, so I'll not ask you to turn to it. I'll just give you the text and read them so that you can see that this is not an isolated case. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 3, he says of the Thessalonians, I give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in my prayers, remembering before our God and Father, listen to this, your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He repeats this again in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. We ought always to thank God, he says, for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one that of you have for another is increasing, saying the very same thing. Then in 1 Timothy 1 and 5, he says this, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12 and 14 again. I thank him, he says, who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I have received mercy because I acted ignorantly and in unbelief. Now listen to this. And the grace of our Lord overflowed to me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So we can see that he speaks about faith and love together. As we would say, they go together like the horse and the carriage. You can't have one without the other. Let us then come back now and consider these two amazing graces, because that is what they are. They are the graces and fundamentals of true Christianity. The reality is, my dear friends, this morning, that no person can possibly be a child of God Without these two pearls of grace, it's not possible. And as Paul is describing the Christians here and what he has heard about them, he thanks God for their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all the saints. So let's look at this a little bit further. Their faith in the Lord Jesus, first of all, and then secondly, their love for all the saints. Their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a cause for thanksgiving. And it is twofold. What they had, first of all, Paul has heard about their faith. He has heard about their faith. To whom is this faith directed? And so that's the two points that we will look at under faith. Firstly, the faith that they had. And secondly, to whom that faith is directed. So much is said about faith, and yet for many it remains confusing. If I were not a Christian, it would be so confusing to me, because faith's word faith is used so often, and sometimes one statement completely contradicts the other. What is this faith that Paul is thanking God for? Well, we need to understand what true Christian faith is, what Bible-believing faith is. Now, if you want a good, clear, simple definition of faith, as I've said in many occasions before, you find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Let me read it. Now faith, says the writer, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Now this is the definition. It's the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of the things that are visible. Now we need to think about this. You see, Christian brother or sister, if you're going to learn, if you're going to grow in grace, if you're going to understand God's word, you're going to have to spend time in meditation of it. Because if you don't, then very soon you will give up on Bible reading altogether. We need to carefully analyze, to inwardly digest what we read. What is being said here? Well, first of all, in these verses in Hebrews 11, we see that this faith is being sure of what we hope for. And it is being certain of what we do not see. It's being sure of what we hope for. and certain of what we do not see. And then in verse 3, the writer to the Hebrews helps us greatly because he gives us an example. By this faith, he says, we know and understand that the universe was created by God speaking. We see and we understand that the universe was created by God speaking. If we went back to Genesis 1 and read through that chapter that records creation, what will we find? We will find again that God says, let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. You see, this faith that has been spoken of here in Ephesians and then right through Holy Scripture is not a hunch. It is a certainty. This faith is a conviction. It is something that absolutely convinces us beyond a shadow of death, or without the shadow of doubt, I should say. We are convinced beyond doubt that God said, and there was. He spoke the universe into creation. We must remember this morning that such faith is a God-given faith. And it's not man's idea. Why do we have so many people in the world who do not believe in creation? Well, they say they do not believe. I don't know that I believe them. But what we see is so many people are saying, I don't believe that. Well, maybe before you were a Christian, you thought like that as well. You tried not to believe in a God. But then, whenever you were given that faith, and especially that saving faith to turn to Jesus Christ, you were convinced beyond any shadow of doubt that God said, let there be, and there was. Christian faith is an amazing faith. It is something that is real. It's something that is sure. It's something that is certain, that enable believers to say, I know that my Redeemer lives. I don't think it. I don't hope it. I'm not 90% sure. I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that he is my God for time and for eternity. But I want you to note in this text to whom this faith is directed. He says, for the reason because I heard of your faith. You notice he just doesn't say, I heard of your faith. But I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. This faith which they possess is in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is saving faith. It is in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christianity, true Christianity, is not a system of religion. It's not a system of religion. True Christianity is not dependent upon a pastor or a priest or a pope or a people. This faith is bound to the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. This faith is certain that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. This faith is certain that the Lord Jesus Christ died in the cross, a Roman gibbet outside of Jerusalem. This faith is certain that when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross, atonement was made for sin. That the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross washed away the sin of the believer for time and for eternity. This faith knows that on the third day the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that 40 days later, as the disciples watched, he ascended up into heaven to take his seat at the right hand of God as a prince and a savior, and as a great high priest, and as a redeemer. And this faith believes that this same Lord Jesus will come in like manner as the disciples saw him go, and that it will come, and that he rather will come and call his people, both those who have already died and gone to glory, and those who are alive. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And this faith knows beyond any doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And so this faith enables people to praise him for all that has passed, and to trust him for all that's to come. I'd like to ask you a question just now this morning. Is this your faith? What is your faith based on? More importantly, who is your faith based on? If it's in this church or me or anyone else, then you're on your way to a lost eternity. Because there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He who said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me." And so the Apostle Paul here is giving thanks to God in our text. He says, for this reason, because have I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have not ceased to give thanks to God. I appeal to you this morning, I appeal to everyone here this morning, to examine your faith. What is that faith? Is that faith sure and certain? Is that faith based in Christ? Is that faith alone in Christ? Nothing added, nothing subtracted. Secondly, there was two things, these two great means of grace that are spoken here. He says, I thank God for this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And secondly, your love for all the saints. He thanks God for their faith in the Lord Jesus. And secondly, he thanks God for their love for all the saints. Now we need to think about that. I'm convinced that this is a point that very often people don't think about. Why would Paul say that? Why would he repeat that again and again through his letters? Is it not because it is vitally important? So for that reason, let's take a minute or two to consider it. Let me ask you, do you think it is a fundamental of the faith? Is that what the Apostle Paul is saying? You might say, but Alpha, you just said before that faith is in Christ and in Christ alone. But my dear friends, we must remember that the outcome of such faith has fruit. And this is one of the fruits of salvation, or the fruits of the Spirit, if you like. You know what the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It begins with love. Firstly, I want to note what is being said here. He says, your love towards all the saints. Now remember the opening statement, take you back there for a second. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now we looked at that text when we began, and we saw what a saint is. A saint is someone who is saved by sovereign grace. Not a perfect person, but a perfect person who has been covered over with the righteousness of Christ. And so Paul is saying, I thank God because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and I've also heard of your love for all the saints. Often have you heard people say, well, you know, I love the Lord Jesus, but I don't really go to church. Or I love Jesus, but I do not enjoy Christian fellowship. If I do go to church, I like to go for the music and for the songs and for other things, but I don't really enjoy mixing with those Christian people. Some people say, I prefer to stay at home and worship. So we have church at home now. You can go to Shine TV and you can have church at home. We know that that's what some people think. What do we make of that, my dear friends? Surely again we must examine that under the microscope of Holy Scripture. What does the Scripture say about the statement here that Paul makes, your love for all the saints? Let me take a moment or two again and give you some very important texts. Jesus said this. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Sorry, I said that was Jesus. This is John the Apostle in 1 John. He says that you have heard from the beginning that we should love one another. He goes on to say, we know that we have passed out of death into life. How do we know we have passed out of death into life? Because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death, and everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer has eternal life in him. He goes on to say, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does God love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in talk and in deed, but in truth. And he goes on to say, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. John is saying the same thing, that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his command abides in God, and God in him. John goes on to say in his fourth chapter, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God but hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. In this commandment that we have of him, whoever loves God must love his brothers. Now I finish the quotes by quoting Jesus himself. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that, he answered them, well, he asked, which commandment is most important of all? Jesus answered, most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now I know that here he's talking about the love that the Christian has should spread out to the unconverted, but most of all, as we think about our love for God, our love for God, and our love for the children of God, goes hand in hand. And so we see here that the Apostle Paul is making it crystal clear that it's not possible to be a Christian and not have faith in Christ and in Christ alone. And he is also saying it's not possible to be a Christian and not love the brethren. Not love the saints. Let me quote the text and I'll be finished in a moment. For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer. In the opening verses, he praises God for the spiritual blessings that belong to the believer. In these verses, he gives thanks to God for the work of grace in the life of the saints. So, my dear friends, as we close just now, let me ask you again, does this describe your faith? Can you look at this text and honestly say, if the Apostle Paul had known me, if John had known me, and Jesus, who does know me, He knows that while my faith is sometimes not what it ought to be, my faith is solidly upon the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And because I am now a child of God, the grace that He has given to me has filled my heart with love for God's people. I know that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, that He didn't just die for me, but that He died for all the saints. And I know that all of those saints, those who are in heaven and those who are in earth, are my brothers and my sisters, and we are united to Christ. Can you say this morning, I love the house of God? I love the people of God. I long and I love the fellowship with God. And I long for that day that's coming and is not very far away, when that great multitude, and you know I love that so much, that great multitude that no man can number, out of every tribe and every people and every nation, that great multitude will be gathered together as one to worship the great triune God for all eternity. None will be there because they depended upon their church or their pastor or their priest, or anyone else, but all will be there through the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all the saints, and Jesus died for me. What a way to remember people. What a way to describe people who have faith in the Lord Jesus and have love for all the saints. Let's pray. Our Father, as we bow, we thank You again for Your holy word. We thank You for the truths, this great truth that is knit right through Holy Scripture, that faith alone in Christ alone is the only means of salvation. We thank You for everyone here this morning who knows that their faith rests in Christ alone, and that that faith has made them a new creation, so that they love the God of heaven and they love all the saints who have been saved through that same grace. Lord, bless Your word to all our hearts in a special way again this morning, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.